Learning the Dhamma is about learning oneself. Usually we can't find ourselves. If we really know ourselves, if we really understand what we really are, then there won't be any desire left at all. Because suffering comes from desire, from wanting. Like, we don't want to be old, but we get old. And we suffer. If we don't want to get sick, right? But we get sick, we suffer. We want to be with the people that we love, and we can't be with them, we suffer. We want to not be with people or see people that we don't like, but we are forced to, and we suffer. But whenever there's a wanting for anything to be in a particular way, we inevitably suffer. If we are free of desire, we are free of suffering. When we really find ourselves, we'll reach the highest thing possible for humanity. Knowing ourselves, or seeing ourselves, just surviving in this world, having money, having status, being in a community, that's all fine. But when we really know ourselves, then we find the most important truth. When we know ourselves, there won't be any more desire. The thing that we call ourselves are this body and mind, or in Pali, rupa and nama, these things that are the components that we think are us, the things that we're residing here with. So we don't have to try to find ourselves anywhere else in the universe. We just look at this body and this mind that are right here. Whenever it is that we arrive at these things, find these things, we can see the truth, and then we really know ourselves, and desire will be eliminated. Normally we think there really is a me here, a self here. And we think that there is. If we sort of reach our first full potential as a human being, then we've found ourselves. But the Buddha taught a way of separating out the different things that we believe to be ourselves. It's sort of like separating out a car. We have a car, but if we take the tires off, are the tires the car? Is the steering wheel the car? If we disassemble the car, the engine, is the engine the car? The bumper, is that the car? The signal light, is the signal light the car? There's all these pieces, but then when they're assembled together, we call it a car. But there really isn't a car. There's just pieces working. Just made from a bunch of materials. Learning about oneself is just the same. But it's not just physical materials. There's also mental materials. There's components of body and mind that come together. There's the body, there's feelings. We separate these things that we believe to be ourself, and then see where is a self in any of this. So we look in the body. Is there a self? We can move our consciousness from the tip of our hair follicles at the top of our head all the way down to the bottom of our feet. See, is there a self in this body? We end up seeing that the thing that we're attached to most, that we believe is us, is the mind. So we look, we can start with the body and see that the hair, if we examine the hair in our attention, we can see that it's just a physical thing. There's no self in it. We can keep looking, look into the nails, into the skin, into the teeth. We see that all these things are just material things, that there's a body, and then there's a feeling that I am this body. But there isn't a person there. So we have feelings, feeling happy or unhappy, pleasant or unpleasant. Call this Vedana. We can look within happiness. We can look within unhappiness. And we see that the happiness comes up and falls away. The unhappiness comes up and falls away. When these things disappear, we can see that these things aren't me because they disappear. Like when happiness comes up, does the happiness feel, is the happiness telling us that it's me when it comes up? Or any unhappiness when that comes up, is it telling us that it's mine, it's me? So these things that we call me, that we call us, let's examine them, seeing the body from head to toe. Is there anything there that's an us? Happiness or pleasant feelings of the body, unpleasant feelings of the body, and pleasant and unfeeling of the mind. Let's see them when they appear and see that there isn't a self in them either. I mean, there's a body sitting here. Who knows this? The mind knows this. The body is breathing. Who knows this? The mind knows this. We do this often. We'll see that the body is just something that is seen or known. We think that there's a self, and we think so because of our habits. We feel that there's a feeling that there's somebody in here. But when we really take a look, we'll see that there isn't anyone there. That the me is just a thought. And we feel that there's a me. But if we really examine it in this body, in this mind, in the five aggregates, we'll see that each component is just an element, just an aggregate. In the rupa aggregate, the body or form aggregate, there's just elements of pressure, temperature, hardness, softness. They're called the earth, wind, fire, water elements. None of them are shouting out at me. They're just elements, moving, changing. The feelings never said that they're ours. The memory never said that it's ours. We just think wrongly and believe wrongly that there's a person, there's a me. It just comes from thinking wrongly, classifying wrongly in our mind. I'm thinking this body is us is a wrong view. It's just a mess of elements coming in, elements going out with each breath, food being ingested and excreted. There isn't a person. The happy and unhappy feelings come and go. They're not a person. In all the wholesome and unwholesome states, the good and bad states of mind that come up, there's no person in them. Take a look when, say, anger comes up. Take a look at it. When we see the anger disappears. The anger never said that it's me. When greed comes up and we have mindfulness that sees it, the mind is greedy, and then it disappears. The greed never has ever, ever said that it's ours, that it's us. And we can keep sitting and breathing. We're sitting and breathing and the mind gets lost in thought, right? The mind gets lost in thought. When it's seen, it disappears. And this mind that got lost, or this wandering mind, it never said it was us. So the Buddhist way is to see the components, and we separate out these pieces that we believe to be a self and see that they're just pieces, parts. None of them have an us in them. The hardest thing to see is the mind itself, or consciousness itself. Seeing that that isn't us is the hardest part. The easiest thing to see is that the body isn't us. The Buddha even said that people that never practiced Buddhism are able to see that the body isn't us. The body is something temporary. It isn't something that is under our control. Anyone who didn't listen to the Buddha can see this within other religions or certain practices. But it was only the Buddha that saw that consciousness isn't a self either. Longpa met his teacher a long time ago, and he asked him to teach his mind. He taught him to watch his own mind, or to study his own mind. And when he told him, "You have to study your own mind. Do you understand?" And he said, "Yep, I understand." He just said that. He had no idea really what that meant. But then he tried to practice according to what he thought his teacher meant, and then took the train up. On the train, he wasn't sure what to do. He says, "Okay, he told me to watch my mind. Okay, what should I do?" And he wasn't sure what to do. He's like, "Well, all my life I've been watching the breath, so I'll start by watching the breath." If we ever don't know what to do for our practice, if we're ever confused, let's just practice a simple meditation like repeating Buddha or the breath, watching the breath. So he watched the breath until he felt calm at this time. And then, okay, Lung Pu Dun asked me to watch the mind, but where is the mind? I have no idea where the mind is. All right, let's see. Is the mind in the hair? He touched his hair. He sent his attention into his hair. Didn't find a self there. So then he checked out the rest of the body too, bringing his attention in. So it was just material. There wasn't a mind in there. This is the feeling of happiness, or the feeling of unhappiness. Maybe the mind is in there. Maybe I'll find the mind in there. So happiness came up from his meditation. He brought his attention into the happiness, and nope, no mind appeared. The happy feeling disappeared, but there was still knowing. At the time, I didn't realize that the knowing was the mind. So I thought, oh, maybe in unhappiness or unpleasant feeling is where the mind is. Okay, I got to make myself suffer a little more then. So what should I do? Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll sit still and won't move for a long time. Then I'll get sore and stiff. So he took a long time. The body started feeling really painful, and he brought his attention into the painful body. He said, it was hard to do because there was pain in the body, but then the pain went away, it turned to numbness. He couldn't even feel his body because he did it for so long. And he was looking and trying to find the mind in there, and he couldn't find it. So he thought, oh, maybe the mind is thought, or maybe the mind is in thought. So then he started doing some thinking, a chant. So he's repeated the chant to himself. This is the chant. And he was thinking it. Uto, susuto. And then when he did this, he saw the thoughts coming out of emptiness, like a current coming out of emptiness and then disappearing back into emptiness. When he saw this, the thoughts disappeared back into emptiness, and then all that was left was this knower or observer. We can find the observer if we're able to see the mind thinking. So we could go Buddho, Buddho, Buddho in our mind, or breathe if we don't like saying Buddho. Breathing in knowing, breathing out knowing. After a little while, the mind will go off to think. If we see the mind that went off to think, then the knowing mind arises. We'll see that everything that arises in the mind comes up on itself, that nothing that arises in the mind or us, the good and bad states come and go, not a self, the pleasant and unpleasant feelings come up and go, not a self. And even this mind or consciousness, one moment it's the knower, the next moment it's the thinker. It isn't under our control. When anger arises, the mind is the knower of the anger. There's these things called, all these things that arise in the mind we can call jetasikas. They're mental formations. And every mind that comes up with a jetasika, a formation. Every formation comes up and disappears. And every mind that comes up with it comes up and disappears. So there's a mind, there's a formation or a jetasika. And then there's a memory. If we keep paying attention, we can separate each mental moment into the different factors that are up, that arise in each mental moment. Even separating it into just the 70-something components, but that's ridiculously difficult. But we can perhaps make it to noticing two or three things, in particular the two things, the mind that comes up, and then the formation that arises with the mind, like a feeling. When we see these things coming and disappearing, there won't be a self anywhere to be found. When we truly accept this, the noble path arises. Stream entry, when we see that there is no self. We can call this finding ourself. Finding ourself can be considered, in Buddhism, seeing that there isn't a self. Right? Learning or knowing oneself truly, once we truly know ourselves, we'll see that there isn't a self. The things that we believe are us or a self are just a whole bunch of components of form or matter and mental aspects. So the most famous way to is the five aggregates. That's the famous way to separate the components. But there are all kinds of ways to separate it. The body can be separated into the different senses, into the different elements of wind, fire, earth, and water. There are all different ways to separate it, but when we're able to separate it in our experience, any way we do, we'll see that there isn't a self. So we've been having a wrong view that there is a me deep in our heart, and then when we have that wrong view, then we do things to make ourselves suffer. For example, when this body gets old, or this body is in pain, or this body dies, when we believe that it's me, or believe that it's a self, then we suffer as a result of it. When they believe there's a me, then we think that I am not with the things that I want, or love, or I'm going to lose the things that I love, or be with the things that I don't love. We're going to feel that it's us who isn't getting what we want. We won't be seeing in that moment that this wanting is just wanting. It doesn't belong to anybody. We'll feel that it belongs to us, and therefore we suffer. When there isn't a self, there isn't a place that's holding suffering or keeping suffering together, a home for the suffering. There isn't a home. So let's practice separating out the components that we call ourselves, examine them, and see that there isn't a self in any of them. And this is learning or studying the truth of finding ourselves at the first stages, seeing that there isn't a me. And then we can keep practicing from there. But even at that point, so much of the suffering will be eliminated. We'll feel that the body is old, but not that I am old. The body is ill, but not that I am ill. When the body is dying, just the body dies, not us dying. There won't be suffering with regards to what happens to the body. When feelings come up, negative feelings, positive feelings, love, hate, all the different feelings come and go, and there won't be a feeling that there's anybody suffering with the result of what arises. Being with what we want, or with being away from what we want, or being with what we don't want, there won't be anyone suffering as a result of it. There was a student of Lungpa Pramot that was very sad because her child died. And Lungpa said, "Oh, I'm sorry about that." And she said, "No, it's okay. My parents died, and I was sad for a while, and then it went away, and I know that this will go away too." And there's a little bit of wisdom brewing there. She was still in the sadness, but she knew that it wasn't something that is permanent. She had been watching her emotions for long enough and knew that there isn't a permanent feeling. When our mindfulness is strong, as soon as a feeling like sadness comes up and mindfulness sees it, it disappears immediately. Everything arises and falls. The body Each body position rises and falls. Each feeling arises and falls. Each good and negative state arises and falls. Now some people that see the Dhamma, even if people that are close to them die, they still smile. But only people that have a certain understanding can smile when he says this to them. Some people will say, how can you say that, if they're not ready to hear what he's talking about? Some angels even still cry when their loved ones die. And that's because even some angels, if just because you're an angel, it doesn't mean that you know how to practice the Dhamma. It's the body, the feelings, feeling happy, unhappy, having good feelings, having bad emotions, good emotions, mental states, and the knowing of these things. We can separate all these things into pieces. See, this body's moving, it's breathing, it walks, it stands. It isn't us. The moving isn't us. The breath isn't us. It's just material things working within themselves. All the feelings of happiness or unhappiness, they come up by themselves and they disappear by themselves. Feeling good, feeling bad, like greed and anger and these things, they come up by themselves and they disappear by themselves. There isn't a self. They aren't. None of these things are under our control or stay. They all come and go. None of them are immortal. And then we start to sense our heart is changing all the time. Our mind of ours is one moment thinking, one moment looking, the next moment hearing. It keeps working. If we decide that the mind is going to think, is thinking now, or looking, or hearing right now, as you're listening to Lungpa. See, look at Lungpa. Take a look at Lungpa. We can't decide. Can you see when you're looking at him? Just for a moment you see him, and then you start thinking. Right? Yeah. You try to think, you try to look at him, but you can't just look at him. You start thinking. You didn't... Okay, it's enough looking. Yeah. Pretty soon you're going to turn him into a piece of glass or something. Mm-hmm. He just wanted to teach you that, see, that the mind goes off to think by itself. Or we see somebody walking and our eyes turn to look at them. And then we're like, oh, that person is an enemy of ours, right? Then the mind gets angry by itself. Mm-hmm. Or we see somebody walking and, oh, I like that person, and we feel happy about it, right? The happiness came up all on its own. All these feelings just come up and change all on their own. Let's see that they all come and go. Even the knowing comes up and disappears. One moment it's the knower, the next moment it's the thinker, the next moment it's over-focusing, trying to do a meditation, the next moment it's the wandering mind. And then that happens in greed and anger and happiness, unhappiness, all these things come up. When we make contact with the different senses, like seeing, hearing, smelling, or when we think, then different defilements will arise out of that automatically. We'll see that this mind isn't us. And when we see that this mind isn't us, we realize that nothing in the world is us. For a while we might notice there's a self there sometimes and not sometimes, and then eventually we see that there isn't a self at all. Tens of percentages, how do I put it? A huge percentage of the amount of suffering that we have will disappear immediately when we see that there isn't a self. So if it isn't us, then what is it? When we are completely and fully wise, we will know that none of it is a self. It's just suffering. The thing that exists is suffering, and that even this consciousness is suffering. When we see that utterly and completely, that mind or consciousness is suffering itself, then there'll be no attachment even to our mind or consciousness. Nothing that we held to be ourself, can be held to once we see, once we let go of the mind. If we're still attached to this body and mind, we're going to want this mind and body to be happy and not be suffering. We don't want the body to be in pain. We don't want the mind to be in any pain. Then we suffer from that as well. Some people have body suffering now because they're hungry. Some people have body suffering now because they want to go to the washroom. So I suppose it's time to stop then, so those things can happen.